Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to everybody. I'd like to discuss the topic, the sugya of the Isser of Pinui Hames and the sugya of Likut HaTzamot, which really is what we call in English reinterment. Is it ever permitted to rebury somebody, to remove a mace from the kever that they are buried in and move them to a second kever? Several questions I like to use as the impetus to discuss this sugya, questions that have come my way. Number one, here in Washington, D.C., Greater Washington, one of the well-known cemeteries, National Cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery. Many people can wait, military people, for months, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and from the time of their demise and death, to actually be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Several times a question has occurred as to whether or not it's permitted to wait such a long time in order to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. That means that somebody will be put in a freezer, in a fridge, for that amount of time. Of course, the shilas of Aninos, and when Avelos actually begins, of course, the shilas as to whether or not somebody's permitted to be buried altogether in Arlington National Cemetery, being that it's not a Beis HaKvar Shel Yisrael, it's Kivrei Akum. But outside of those questions, would it potentially be permitted to bury somebody in a Kever Yisrael, I'll deny that they will be moved in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months to be buried for posterity in Arlington National Cemetery. Question number one. Question number two, which occurred quite a few times during the COVID pandemic, are there many, many Mesim who wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? And there were plots that were purchased and they were prepared for their ultimate Kever Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, but it was impossible to get to Eretz Yisrael. Would it be permitted for somebody to be buried in Chutz Laretz? I'll deny on condition that their kever will be moved from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael whenever the time would occur for that movement to take place. Also occurred once, there was a major snowstorm here in the Maryland area, and it was very, very difficult to dig the ground, and in order for somebody to be buried, it would take days to a week in order for the burial to actually take place. The question was, could somebody go to the Carolinas to do the kvura there, where it was 10 to 20 degrees warmer, and then I'll deny that they would be moved back to Maryland in order for the ultimate kever yisrael to take place for significant time forward. Of course, each of these three questions seem to be hinging on whether or not one is permitted to be nikvar al tanai. A burial could take place on condition that it will be moved at a later date. Those are the first series of questions that exist. There's a caveat to one of these questions, and that is in one of these contexts, somebody offered their burial plot for a certain amount of time until ultimately they would be moved to their final resting place. So if somebody purchased the burial plot and Lachar Me'ev Esrim was prepared to use that plot, and in the interim, there was a situation where somebody needed to be buried for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, or maybe 2 years and upwards, would it be permitted to hand off that kever? I'll deny that when that person is ultimately moved to their final stop, would they then be able to go back ultimately Lacham v'meiv esrim and to be buried in that same kever that they ultimately purchased originally? Those are the first set of questions. Second set of questions deals with a situation where somebody wanted ultimately to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, never thought about it, never really planned on doing that, but at some point the mishpacha decides that they want to move their ancestor to be buried in Kever Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Is it permitted to be mefane the mace, to move the mace from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael? Similarly, at some point, there's a mace that was buried in Plot A, and for whatever reason, it wasn't near Kever Mishpacha, it wasn't near Kivrei Avos. And at some point, the family decides that they want to move the mace to an area, New York or New Jersey, where there was a Kever Mishpacha and Kivrei Avos. Would it be permitted to move the individual who is buried in State A to State B, even if there was no Tanai? At some point, the family decides that that's where the mace should be nikvar. For whatever reason, it didn't occur originally upon demise. And at this point, again, no Tanai, no condition was ever made. Would it be permitted to move somebody, a mace, from Kever A to Kever B? Finally, this is a question that existed in earlier Doris when travel was more difficult. Somebody who lived in town A or town B or city A or city B and was traveling and passes away, his nifter in city C or city D or in constituency town D or town E. And unfortunately, they're unable through the modes of travel to return to their origin place of origination, and they're buried in not their town, in not their city, in not their state, in not their country. At some point, would they be permitted to be moved back, to be mefana, back to their place, back to their location? Each of these questions is tali in the sugya of pinui hameis and the sugya of likut atzamos. The simin in Shulchan Aruch where this could be found is in Yoredeya, Tur, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Simin Shin, Samach Gimel. There, the Shach, the Taz, Kiveger, Peschei Tshuvas, and Berhetiv discuss these shailas. For a more contemporary discussion of these shailas, you can look in the classic Gigesher of Chaim, Rabbi Tukachinsky, Chelek Aleph, Perek Chavav, also the Sefer Kobol of Avelos of Rabbi Greenwald, Perek Vav, and in the more recent Sefer, Sefer Zichron Meir and Avelos, Chelek Aleph, Perek Yotes, Simon Beis. Each of these Tzvarim have an excellent, excellent chapters on these sugyas. There are essentially four reasons in the poskim that we see that it's usur to be mefane ames, that it's prohibited to move ames from kever A to kever B. The first reason cited by the Shach and the Taz, all in Simon Shin Samach Gimel Sif Katan Aleph, it's also found in the Ber Hetiv as well as the Ber Gola there. Hatam debilbul koshelhem shemisyarim yom hadin vizeich ledavr yashanti az yanuachli. The Isser is that it's confusion. It's a bilbul. There's some level of absolute confusion to the Meis. Mipnei Shemis Yarm Yom Hadin. It's almost as if there's a new Yom Hadin that's taking place. And these are the psukim that are quoted. Yashanti Asenuchli. When I rest, when a person demise their ptira after 120 years, Yashanti, they rest. Yanuachli, there'll be some level of Menucham. Shmuel Omer, Lama Hir Gistani Lalos. Why have you gotten me angry to awaken me? And there, therefore, the Shach, the Taz, the Ber Hagola, the Ber Hetev, the Pesach Tshuva hints to this as well, is that the Isser of being Mefane Hames is because Bilbul Koshalem. It's Shemisiyar Miyom Adin. There's a new Cherdas Adin that takes place, and therefore it's inappropriate, it's wrong, and it shouldn't be done. The Shach, a few Sifkatans later in Sifkatan Dalet, says a different reason, and that is that it's a Bizoyel Meshar Mesim. If a person has been Nifter and has been Nikfer in Beis HaKvaros A, and all of a sudden at some point it's decided that they're going to move to Beis HaKvaros B, it's a Bizoyel, it's a disgrace for all the Mesim that are buried in the first location. How is that person being moved? You're sort of saying that the Beis HaKvaros is inappropriate, it doesn't fit, it's not distinguished, it's not right, and therefore it's a Bizoyel, it's a disgrace and an embarrassment to all the Mesim who are buried in the first Beis Kfaros, and therefore says the Shach and Sifkatan Dalet, that is the reason why there's an Isser to be Mefana the Mes. Rabbi Kiveger and his Chidushim and in his glosses to Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Samach Gimel gives a third reason. He says it's Tsar Ubizoyon HaMes. There's a certain level of pain, agony, embarrassment, disgrace to the nifter who's being mitultal, who's being transferred from point A to point B. Meirachok, v'ula yasriach, maybe the body smells and it's not nice for the nifter. It's inappropriate behavior. It's bizayin, it's not kavod hames. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that's the ikar tam, that's the main reason why there's an isser of pinoy hames. Several generations later, in the Tshuvas and Rabbi Yehuda Yoredeya Simen Tzadi Tes, he says the fourth reason, nivul hames. The mace is going to be decomposed and it's going to be taken advantage of, and you're being minavel the mace. This might not apply when all that remains is bones, as Atzamo says the Rabbi Yehuda, but there's a certain level of nivul hames that the mace itself and the body and the guf of the mace is being minuval, it's being disgraced, and therefore that's not the right thing to do. Thus, we see four reasons in the poskim to explain the reason why there's an Isser Pinoy Hames. The Makor of Pinoy Hames is Yerushalmi in the third parak of Meseches Moed Katan, and there the Yerushalmi says, as it's quoted by the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Mefanen Hames Vatzamos, Lo Mikever Mechuber LeKever Mechuber. We never transfer Hames or the bones from one Kever to another Kever, even if the Kever is Mechuber to a second Kever, that's Mechuber. V'lo Mikever Bozi LeKever Bozi, not from a low level Kever to another low level Kever. And therefore, explain the poskim that these are the reasons, the four reasons at least, as to why there's an Isser Pinui Hames, and this is very clearly articulated by Chazal and almost uncontested in Tur, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, and the Rishonim. However, the Shulchan Aruch himself, Yosef Karo, Simon Shin Samach Gimel, gives four exceptions to this rule. And the first exception that the Shulchan Aruch says is if you're being transferred to Kever Mishpacha. if you're being transferred mitoch shelo lefanoso lekivro shel mishpachto etzalavosav, why mipnei shezeu kvodo, says the shach, it's a kavod for the nifter to be buried where his mishpacha is. So therefore, because it's a kavod, an exception to the rule, and a yotzim and a klal, although ordinarily we're not mifane hames mimakom lemakom, we never transfer mes from point A to point B. In this circumstance, if it's for kever mishpacha, it's a kavod for the niftar, and therefore it would be permitted to do so. The second exception the Shulchan Aruch says is la'alos le'eretz Yisrael. If a person is being transferred from being nikvar in chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, it's also permitted, and explains the Shach, shuhu kaparaso she'ofer Eretz Yisrael mechaperes tichsiv v'chiper admaso amo. Since Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, the land, the offer of Eretz Yisrael's mechaper atones, as the pasuk says, v'chiper admaso amo, that the kapara, the atonement, exists in Eretz Yisrael, and the adama and the offer is the way to atone for a person. Therefore, it would also be permitted to move a nifter, a nikvar, from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. This, of course, the Ramah adds, is the reason for the minag losseis me'efer Eretz Yisrael bekever, according to the Arzarua, and therefore, this is why not only do we put offer of Eretz Yisrael in chutz la'aretz, but it's another reason, says the Mechaber, that we permit reinterment to go from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. A third heter, the Shulchan Aruch says, if a t'nai is made, if a condition is made lechatchila, v'imnosnuhu sham, says the Mechaber, al menas lefanoso muter b'chol inyan. If a person is buried al t'nai on condition that the nifter is going to be moved and buried to point B, wherever that place is, whether it's Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, regardless, it doesn't make a difference, and that is permitted because al t'nai, a burial on condition, is mutter. A fourth exception to the rule, says the Mechaber, if it's a kever she'eino mishtamer, if the placement of burial and burial place, number one, is not mishtamer, it's not guarded, it's not safely guarded, she'eshlocha shem yotziu of the kachavim, maybe somebody will remove the body, o she'kanes b'mayim, there's flooding in that area, o she'hu kever nimtza, or it's a burial place that is not safe, in each of those circumstances, in each of those examples, it would be mutter for somebody to be moved from kever A to kever B. So we find four exceptions to the rule. Number one, kever avos, kever mishpacha, being buried near a family member is licensed to move. Number two, to move from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Number three, if it's burial, kvura al tanai. And number four, if it's a kever that's not mishnamer. Therefore, to go back to the original questions that we asked, in each of the circumstances where the burial was happening al tanai, where somebody's been buried for weeks or months to get to Arlington National Cemetery, or if it was a situation like we had during the COVID pandemic, where a person wasn't able to be buried in Eretz Yisrael and wanted to temporarily be buried in chutz la'aretz on condition that they will be moved at the appropriate time to Eretz Yisrael, or when there was a severe snowstorm and did not allow burial immediately for days or weeks, and the only way to handle that would be to go to the Carolinas and be moved back to Maryland. In each of those circumstances, in each of those scenarios, if somebody is going to decide that they're going to remain in the place where they decided to, matov manoim, but if it was done al tanai, the Mechaber says that b'chol inyan, in every circumstances, that would be absolutely permitted. Certainly in the other cases that we had as well, if a person without a tanai, without making condition, at some point the family decides to move that kever to Eretz Yisrael or to move the kever to Kivrei Avos, those both fit squarely into that which the Mechaber says as a heter and as a yotze min haklal. Furthermore, if the individual himself who is nifter indicated b'chayav during their lifetime that they wanted to be buried somewhere else and for whatever reason it didn't happen, that too, the poskim say, also is a reason to for permissibility to be moved from kever A to kever B. In the circumstance that we also discussed, if somebody dies not where they had wanted to be buried, and whether or not they indicated clearly, implicitly, or explicitly, at some point, if the family decides that they want to that nifter, the nikver, to be reinterred to a place closer to home where it seemingly that was where they wanted to be, then that would be permitted as well. Of course, in each of these circumstances, as the post can point doubt, a shaila has to be asked. We're not quick to allow reinterment, even though the Mechaber does give these four circumstances, because as the Shulchan Aruch says later in Siman Tav Gimel, there are halachas. There are halachas of what happens when you are mifana the mace, and that's called the halachas of Likut HaTzamos, the last Siman in Yeridea, the last Siman in Hilchas Avelos, and that is that the day that that takes place, the halachas of Avelos apply, the halachas of Shiva take place, Kriya takes place, and therefore a person has to be prepared to do that and understand what the requirements are when a Likut Atzamos does take place. In Siman Shin Samech Dalet, where the Mechaber deals with the Isra to get Hana from a Kever, for the Evin or for the Binyan, it's prohibited to get Hana, to benefit from a burial place, from the stones, or from the building where the mausoleum, where the person is buried. There the Mechaber says, both in Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, that in a circumstance where a person purchased a plot, and they were prepared to use that plot, but it was never used, and that individual now wants to give up that plot, Al Tanai, for some time, and then it could be given back to that person. Seemingly, the Mechaber would indicate that that would be absolutely permitted, and therefore, in our context, where somebody was kind enough and had the ability to give their kever to somebody else for several months until that individual would be nikver in their place of choice, because they were unable to be buried in that place at the moment, the individual who purchased that plot ultimately would be permitted to be buried there, la'achar me'ev esrim, even though it was used before, whether it's an ish or an isha or vice versa, and any of those circumstances that would be permitted. These are the halachas of Likut HaTzamos, the halachas of the Isser Pinoy Lameis, the reasons why it is prohibited to do so, and the exceptions to the rule. Kadosh Baruch Hu should send us Besuros Tovos, Yeshuas V'Nechamos, Bayamim Hahem, Bazman Hazem.